Blog Talk Radio.
A candle burns for you tonight. As I gaze upon it, I see you in the light and feel the love. And feel the love that you brought to my life. I am shaking, my heart is breaking from the loss of you. Yet you are with me, each time I think of you. A candle burns for you tonight. As I gaze upon it, I hold you in the light and feel the love, and feel the love that you brought to my
Sure. Assalamu alaikum and welcome to the Jackie Coley Radio Show. And from Northern California to Hilo, Hawaii, I would like to welcome Dennis and Christy Soares. All right, good morning out there, or good afternoon, or good evening.
it's 10 o'clock at night. Aloha to you.
Aloha.
Well, aloha. Yeah. How are you doing out there?
We're doing good. The rain's coming down, which is pretty normal for the Big Island. East Hawaii, whole bunch of rain. It's coming down pretty good right now.
Wonderful, wonderful. To my understanding, you've got two volcanoes on your island. Is that correct?
Yeah, we have actually the two largest mountains in the world from sea level, Mauna Kea and Mauna Loa. Mauna Loa is the largest, and Mauna Loa has a couple of active volcanoes. The one that's really erupting right now that people come to is Kilauea, and that one actually is erupting in several places right now. A lot of tourists are here to see it.
Wonderful, wonderful. Well, before we get to the nitty-gritty, you know, a candle burns for you. I actually was introduced to Soares music a couple years ago on the Reverb Nation profile, and your style is so reminiscent of Southern California, James Taylor, kind of Linda Ronstadt, the Eagles feel, and I've been a fan ever since. Christy, tell me about A Candle Burns for You. How are you doing out there, by the way, besides the rains?
I'm doing good. I wrote the song for Hospice of Hilo. We perform the memorial services for them a couple times a year, and of course they always have a candle lighting portion, and I wanted to create a song for them, and so that's where it came from, and we've been using it ever since.
Tell me about your influence. So I've got some sense of your story. If I'm not mistaken, Dennis, you are a native of Hawaii. Is that correct?
Yeah, I was born and raised there. I was born and raised in Oahu, which is not the biggest island, but it's the most populated island with about 1 million people. And I was born and raised in a town called Kailua, which is on the Windward Coast. Went to school there, went to high school, some college, and then I moved to California eventually to become a teacher and a musician, and that's where I met my wife, Chris. She's from Redding, California.
Redding, okay, so that's where the Northern California comes in.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Okay, wonderful. So tell us about your major influences. Am I spot on? With respect to the artists I named, Dennis and Chris?
Okay, well, I'll start first, and then I'll hand the phone over to Chris. Basically, you named the number one artist that influenced me, and that was James Taylor. The second most important artist was Jim Croce. He had a very short life. He died in 1973, but I do play just about all of his songs. So the style of music that came through for me very early in Waikiki when I was performing there in the 70s was this kind of easy listening, determined kind of rhythm, quite melodic, and pretty much have never changed from that style. Whether or not the radio stations like it or don't like it has never really mattered to me. I continue to produce that kind of music. So those were my influences. Of course, you know, groups like the Eagles and Bread and the Carpenters, you know, these groups were enormously influential on me because of the mellow style that they generated. And I like music that's understandable, where you can hear the lyrics, understand the melody, and get the message from the song. That's what appeals to me. Well, I'll hand the phone over to Chris, and she can tell you who influenced her.
Wonderful.
Well, I loved Bread, the group Bread. I love harmonies, beautiful harmonies, and I also love storytellers. And another great influence on me was Barbara Streisand. I just think she has one of the best voices in the world. And
is there a particular album by Barbara?
Excuse me?
Is there a particular album by Barbara, a particular song?
Oh, my gosh. I love a lot of her songs, The Way We Were, Evergreen. I mean, I could go on and on. I have several of her albums, and I've seen a lot of her movies. I mean, I'm a big fan. I saw her when she performed in California, and it was a once-in-a-lifetime experience going to her concert and in the 80s, and so when she toured.
I'll have
phone
back. Okay. Playing phone tag.
So, you're getting a lot of talk out of her. Not too much. So go ahead. I'm listening.
Yes. So, how does Polynesian culture fit into your arrangement, I love your guitar playing, Dennis. I do sense there is some Polynesian culture that has rubbed off of you one way or the other. Would you like to expand on that?
Yeah, sure. Prior to about 8 years ago, I never played slack key. I had the great fortune to meet the legendary Cyril Pahanui, which is the most famous son of Gabby Pahanui, and he taught Chris and I how to play open C slack key tuning, and we began to incorporate slack key into our songs to an ever greater extent, so much so that now I have actually produced 8 individual albums, solo albums, that are nothing but instrumental music, taking slack key to a new level, and that is playing in slack key, but actually carrying the melody line with orchestral instruments. And I've gotten some very rave reviews from people on that music. It's very soothing. So, yeah, living here, this island is immensely talented with people. Very difficult to get a gig and keep a gig. There's so many talented people, and many of them are Hawaiian or part Hawaiian, and they play slack key, and they sing with beautiful falsetto. So you really have to be willing to incorporate that into your music if you want to perform here. Of all the islands in Hawaii, this is the most local island there is, in my opinion. Molokai maybe being second, but this is a very local island, and the people are kama'aina local, and their music smart, you know. So I think over the past 10 years, for sure, we've used a much greater amount of guitar work in our music. If you go back 20, 30 years, I was actually composing primarily on piano at that time. So it's kind of gone a full circle, yeah.
Wow. So you mentioned, you know, how competitive the gigs are out there.
Yeah.
What is the gig culture like out there?
Well, it's not really good for musicians, but particularly those that call themselves professionals, because there's only a handful of clubs that will pay you anything resembling a decent wage for a three-hour show. And there are many other venues that will tell you you can come and play for free for tips if you want to, you know, which can be all right and can be terrible. It just depends on who shows up. Generally speaking, I'll make this a rule, but generally speaking, tourists seem to tip better than the Kamaainas do, the local people. And I don't really know why that is. Maybe the Kamaainas feel that the musicians don't need to be tipped, but it's really hard to make a living doing music here. We play 3 to 5 times a week, and I would not say we make a living totally at music. I'm semi-retired. I have a teaching, you know, pension that allows us to do what we're doing.
Right, right. How long were you teaching, sir?
I taught for 20 years in Northern California in a town called Stockton, which was south of Sacramento, about 30 miles.
Right.
I was a not only a teacher there, but I was a technology specialist, which has led me to other things like developing the Big Island Music Awards here because of my skill with developing websites and putting together various kinds of contests. I've been very successful at having those kinds of events here for the community. They don't make money. I'm not trying to make money with them. I want to support music here, and that's why I put them on. But they are fun. We've done 4 of them so far. And we plan to continue doing this.
Okay. Christy, you had mentioned, Dennis mentioned the Carpenters, and you mentioned Barbara.
Yeah.
And, you know, I'm very familiar, you know, with a lot of your music, and you guys kind of, you know, validated James Taylor influence. But I'm very interested in a two-part harmony and the composition structure of the songs and how you folks, are there any particular themes that you're trying to elevate in your music? And are those themes being influenced by your life on Hawaii, or are you reminiscing on your life in California, or both?
Well, for me, my latest album, the album that A Candle Burns for You Tonight came from, I wrote quite a bit about Hawaii, and on previous albums in the past few years, I've written a lot about Hawaii also. So I'm definitely being influenced by being here and embracing it, you know. My influence of people from the groups from the 60s, even Peter, Paul, and Mary, it seems to always come through a lot in my writing and my harmonies, I believe.
Okay.
So it's kind of a mixed bag, I guess, you know. It's just everything from my past comes into the present, if that makes sense, you know.
Wonderful. Yeah, I understand.
Yeah.
Let me ask you this. So, you know, with your personalities and with the weather in Hawaii, do you find yourself, kind of being playful with instrumentation? Have you ever recorded your music live outside? And how does that affect the acoustics in the recording?
Have we recorded our music outside?
Let me take that one. We actually have done what are called studio live albums. Actually, two albums that were totally cover tunes because we got so many requests from people, you know, is that song on this album? And basically we have 103 albums and 101 are all original music. The rest are either two cover tunes or public domain like Christmas songs. And so as far as actually doing our music live and recording it live, well, yeah, we've been videotaped and we have a lot of YouTube videos and stuff, but we don't actually strive to do that and come up with a product. What we do is, like the open tuning CDs, those are all improvisational tracks. You would have to watch me to believe how I do it because most people don't believe it. I simply go into the studio, decide on a musical idea, which consists of an A, B, and a C part, and literally play it verbatim and make it up right on the spot and then orchestrate that. And most people just cannot believe that I could actually do that, but it's not hard for me. It's very easy because Christy and I have been writing music for so long that over the course of, 1972, for me, you know, writing that kind of music is easy, very easy for me. And it's very spontaneous as well. And I like music to be spontaneous. It doesn't have to be perfect. Just it needs to touch people. That's what I wanted to do. So,
and as you feel you accomplished that goal, do you and Christy feel you accomplished that goal more so with your live performances, or do you think your studio recordings accomplished that goal?
I think the studio recordings accomplish that goal. I think when we play live, we don't play an awful lot of our own stuff because a whole lot of the venues have very specific, like we're playing live tomorrow at a place up in Volcano, and we know what that audience wants. They want music. They want music from the 60s to the 80s. If we played a lot of our songs, they wouldn't know what they were. You know, most of our radio airplay does not come on standard radio. It comes off of internet radio. You mentioned Reverb Nation does a whole bunch of other places like Spotify, Last FM that play our music. But we're not well known on local radio here. Never have been. And that's just the way it is. Local radio has their own format of what they want to play. And we don't have that format. So that's all there is to it. But in regards to people like Peter, Paul, and Mary, we do not rehearse our vocal harmonies. And that's no lie. That's the straight truth. We come up with vocal harmonies on the spot in the studio and even live performances. And many, many people have told us it sounds just like Peter, Paul, and Mary, especially when we're doing Leaving on a Jet Plane or songs like that. They just cannot believe how much we sound like them, but we're not trying to. It's just, that's what comes out, you know, Puff the Magic Dragon.
You know what? I definitely believe that reference. I believe it. Tell me about Elation Records and how that fits into your mission statement of indie music, particularly on the local scene in Hawaii.
Well, really, the idea behind Elation Records from the very beginning was to be 100% in control of our music. We have been offered recording contracts and turned them down. We wanted to be 100% in control of what we did, how much we did. It's not unusual for us to make 10 albums in 1 year, all of original music. That has happened before, and it will happen again. So we wanted to be in control of that, and we have been. The other thing is that by owning our own recording studio, manufacturing our own product, designing our own J cards, we own the means of production. And I can't stress this enough to young people. If you don't own the means of production, you might be a one album or two album person and done, because it can cost $10,000 to go to a studio. So you got to decide from the get-go what you want, you know? And so I'm very happy with our approach. The idea behind Elation Records was to produce meaningful music for all humanity, not just garbage, but something that was meaningful, like A Candle Burns for You Tonight is a very meaningful song. People are touched by it.
It's a very nice song. You had mentioned you have a gig tonight at the Volcano Arts Center?
Yeah, we're playing tomorrow night, not the Volcano Arts Center. We're playing tomorrow night at the Kilauea military camp. There is a restaurant there called the Crater Rim Cafe. Within that restaurant, seats about 100 people. There is also a very nice lounge called the Lava Lounge. And we are performing there actually for the first time tomorrow night from 6 to 9 p.m. And, of course, the military base is the Volcano Nationals Park is open and the base to anyone who wishes to come up. It's not a closed place. It's $10 to enter with a carload of people, and you can eat there at where we're going to play, and you can also come into the bar and hear the music. And you can also
wonderful.
Dance there. Yeah.
Wonderful. So I'm going to presume, you don't have like an itinerary for your gigs, and you just, when you get on stage, that's when it happens.
Well, here's the thing. We probably have all told 800 to 1,000 songs we know, just from the two of us, from all the years. We played independently before we ever met each other. We met each other in 1987, but Christy had played on her own, and I had played on my own since 1972. So we have a lot of music. We also take two thick songbooks with us in case somebody requests something that we may not regularly play, and it would be in there, and there are cheats, you know, that Christy has made. And as long as the lighting's good, I don't usually wear glasses on stage. As long as the lighting's good, I can read the sucker. If not, the lighting is really bad, then we just go 100% with what we standardly do. But we don't have a set list. We never make out set lists. The only time we make out a set list is for concerts. And we do have house concerts at our home. That's a whole different topic. But we've had 10 concerts this year at our home. And we do feature some very prominently well-known artists. One this year was John Keave, who is a Grammy-winning slack key guitar player and a personal friend. But, you know, that's a whole different topic. We don't make any money off that either. We do that for the love of it. Right.
Tell me about that. Cause, you know, I've done concerts at my home in California, and they can be rewarding, and they also can be quite grueling. How was your experience at your first home concert?
Well, my first home concert was very good because I invited my teacher, Cyril Pahanui, to be there, and just about everybody on this side of the island knows who Cyril Pahanui is. He's a fantastic teacher and a fantastic slack key guitar player who sadly is in the hospital and may never get out. He's been in Queens now for 4 months with a lung problem. But in any event, I had a very good experience with Cyril. I can honestly say I've had some not-so-good experiences with other people. It is difficult to promote a concert. We live in a town called Mountain View, which is 13 miles south of Hilo. Ironically enough, some people think that's far away. It's not far away, but they do think it's far away, and they won't come. It's a crazy island. I mean, we're driving in 2 weeks, believe it or not, 2.5 hours to do a gig after we did a gig in Mountain View earlier that day in a town called Javi, which is the birthplace of John Keave. And, you know, 2.5 hours each way, that's a long drive. That's like driving from Stockton to Carmel, you know. It's a long ways. But
how many miles is in Hilo?
We're 13 miles south of Hilo. We're on the road that you would take to get up to the volcano. It's called Highway 11. So 13 miles south of Hilo, that is where we live. But it's not a long drive. 20 minutes and you're here. You know, it's it's like that. Some concerts are good and some are not good. That's all I can say. And we haven't, in fact, we've gone to the extent now where we don't even try to sell tickets to the concert. We just tell them where to call to reserve their seats or go online and via PayPal pay for tickets and show up. We don't even sweat it anymore because there's no sense in sweating it, you know?
Right, gotcha.
That's our game.
Yeah, and this question is for Christy, and we're getting down to our 3-minute mark.
Okay.
Christy, I love food, and everywhere I travel, I grab as much food as I can. What's your favorite dish out there that you cook out there?
That I cook? I'm not sure. I was going to say.
Did I say a bad word?
No, I cook, but I wouldn't say that's my forte. I mean, I like to eat. I like to eat food in restaurants, but you know what? I always cook for our concerts because Dennis always requests is chili. I make vegetarian chili and regular, you know, chili with hamburger meat. But anyway, I wouldn't say that's a Hawaiian dish or anything. But I love the place where we play twice a week has the wonderful Hawaiian food, and we always eat like kula pork and poi and lomi lomi. It's not salmon, but it's tomatoes, so they don't put the salmon in it at this restaurant. And so we eat that like every week, at least once a week.
Wow.
And something called hapia, made from coconut, and it's like I don't know how to describe it, but it's wonderful. And they put lilikoi, a topping, lilikoi topping, which is passion fruit, and it's awesome. So anyway, but as far as me cooking, I don't Hawaiian type food. I don't do too much of that.
Okay, gotcha.
Okay.
Well, we're at our 2-minute mark. Do you have any shout outs to anybody out there? You and Dennis?
I'll let Dennis do it.
Okie dokie.
If anybody's listening from the next program, you may not have any idea what that is, but McDonald's is hosting the next program to help raise money for local charities. And there's about 30 musicians involved in that, and we're one of the musicians involved. And there's a bunch of people out there that are really trying to make a difference, and they're also trying to win some money. The top prize is $5,000 and a recording contract. So just a shout-out to all the participants in that particular program. Yeah. So,
Wonderful.
As I
it's been a pleasure having you on the
I
show.
Thank you, Christy.
And I
wish
you well, and hope
to
get invited back.
Thank you very much.
And you have a wonderful
night. Aloha. Gaze upon it, I hold you in the light and feel the love that you brought to my light. feel